Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Carolyn Yeager with the Revisionist Report on Monday, August 8th. As promised, my guest today is a survivor of the World War II internment camps in the United States. His name is Eberhard Fuhrer. No, he's not Japanese. Yes, it was not only Japanese who were interned in concentration-type camps during World War II, but Germans and Italians were too. Why don't you ever hear about them? Well, that's the question we're going to explore today and tomorrow. Now, let's see if I have my guest on. Yes, he's here. Hello, Eberhard. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Carolyn. Good talking with you.
Well, you sound very, very good, very loud and clear, just fine. All right. Well, you know, I'll tell the listeners that you and I know each other. We have known each other for a few years. We met personally, even in person, and I'm very much a big fan of your work. But it also means a lot to me personally because it ties in with this whole theme of the treatment of Germans since World War II and all the reasons for it. So we're going to explore many things in these 2 days, and I'm just so happy that you're here. Now, you were arrested in 1943 at age 17 and kept in internment prisons and camps until 1947. You didn't speak publicly about your experience until after your retirement. Correct me if I'm wrong, but while the American public is somewhat interested in the story of those times, no one in Congress is willing to do anything to acknowledge what was done. Is that right?
That's exactly correct. There are 11... public laws for concerning Japanese internment, and absolutely none about German.
That's right. All right, we're gonna get into that. And first, I want to tell the listeners that they can find information and photos about you and your family at GAIC, which is the German American Interning Coalition.
That's right.
And but the easiest way to get to that website, I think, is to just Google your last name and GAIC. Just Google FUHR plus GAIC, and that site will come up, and you can go right there. And there's another site that they can also look at, which is at FOI Times, which stands for Freedom of Information Times. And again, if they just Google FOI Times, FOITIMES, they will get to that. But I recommend the first one to see some nice pictures of you. So and your experience. So okay, Eberhard, we've only got a couple more minutes, if that, for in this particular segment. But why don't you go ahead and just introduce your story?
Well, it might be best to start when I was born in Germany in a suburb of Cologne called Leverkusen, which is the headquarters of Bayer Aspirin today. And in 1928, I was brought to the United States with my older brother. And my younger brother was born a year later, just in time for the Great Depression in he was born in 1929. And I did 8 years of grade school and a Lutheran
Okay. All right. Well, I have to interrupt you here. We're going to our first break, and when we get back, you can continue with all of this. Be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making lacking bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Have you heard? Proactive is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-489-0192. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactive risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactive Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-489-0192. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive, plus two free extras. Go to GetProactive.com or call 1-800-489-0192. That's 1-800-489-0192.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Carolyn Yeager, and my guest is Eberhard Fuhr, who has been telling us, just started to tell us, about how he was came to the United States as a very young boy in 1928 with his mother and older brother, and his father was already here. And a year later, his younger brother was born. Okay, Eberhard, we have about 11 minutes now for you to continue.
Okay, I went to this Lutheran grade school in Cincinnati, Ohio for 8 years, and then I went to Woodward High School, which in downtown Cincinnati, which is a inner city school, and it was totally integrated, and half of it was black, and one of my classmates was Ezra Charles, who became the boxing heavyweight champion of the world, and he was in my Spanish class. In 1940,
okay, before we go there, would you mind telling us about your a little more about your family, what your father did? Your father was a baker, right?
Yeah, my father was a baker. My mother was a housekeeper, homemaker, whatever you want to call it. And of course, during the Depression, everybody was poor, including us, but we didn't really know it because we just made do with things. Mm-hmm. And we did things, both American stuff as well as some German cultural stuff, because Cincinnati is a German cultural city, as a matter of fact. And I sang in the kinder choir with Doris Day, whose father was the director of the kinder choir, and her family name is really Koppelhof.
Okay, I thought that's really interesting. So, yeah, and that was a German-American.
Yeah, we sang in German, that's
group.
Correct.
Uh-huh,
we sang
yeah.
on the radio, we did public appearances, and it was a lot of fun to do it.
Yeah, and let's make it clear that your mother and father did not apply for American citizenship, right?
No, that's true. My father never really wanted to become a citizen. I think what precipitated that was the ongoing depression and the fact that he was having difficulty maintaining a job during that time, and I think he really wanted to return to Germany.
And eventually.
Yeah, right. And so in 1940, the United States enacted the Alien Registration Act, and which required every alien, regardless of nationality, to register from the age of 14 on up, whether male or female. And I was 15 in 1940, and my registration number is and was 405-6849. And one can think about what would happen if every alien were required to register for the United States government today, regardless of nationality. I think there might be some kind of backlash. However, I went to Woodward, and I was on the football team. I played my normal position was right guard and on offense, and left tackle on defense, and on punts and kicks, I was the long snapper. And we played what they call a Pop Warner system of unbalanced lines and with a single wing back, sometimes occasionally a double wing back. And I lettered three times in football. And in 1942, between the year I was a junior and senior, I was a counselor in a boys' camp in North Carolina. And while I was there, and unbeknownst to me, both my parents were arrested, and they were interned as dangerous alien enemies. And my younger brother.
That's what they called them. Huh? They always said dangerous enemy aliens.
Huh? That's right.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, once Pearl Harbor occurred, we were required to report to the Justice Department, and then they issued us a booklet. We were no longer just aliens. We were now enemy aliens because we were part of the Axis nations. We had to carry a booklet with our photo and thumbprint, and it's just like an internal passport.
Yeah, and this booklet is on this GAIC page that I recommended to the listeners with your picture and all of this, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And they actually put a red cover on it so that would be obvious to anybody that they better pay a particular attention. And mm-hmm. that required us to turn in any shortwave radios, any kind of weapons. Of course, we never had any weapons, but even long kitchen knives were construed as weapons. And you were, if you wanted to make a trip more than 50 miles, you had to report to the chief of police and tell him exactly how you were going to go and how you were going to come back.
Okay, so you were all under surveillance, and they even took your kitchen knives.
Yeah.
Unless you could keep short ones, I guess, huh?
You can keep short ones, yes.
Yeah. Now, let's also make it clear that, which I didn't understand until later, after I'd known you for a while, that you could not on your own apply for citizenship, nor your brother, or whatever. You have to be a certain age to do that. So since your parents had not done it, you had to wait until you were 21 or something.
21,
like that?
Right?
Uh huh. Okay. So therefore, it wasn't your fault that you were not a citizen.
No, that's correct.
Yeah.
So both my parents were arrested and interned. And when I came back, I found out Even my younger brother, who was born in Cincinnati, and who was then 12 years of age, was required to go with them into internment in Siegelville, Texas, on pain of being put into an orphanage. At his age, they were going to take him out of the house and put him in an orphanage. Mm-hmm. My older brother and I stayed home. My parents were buying the house on a mortgage, and so we stayed there. My older brother had a scholarship to Wittenberg College to play football, so he left almost immediately upon my return, and spent a semester at Wittenberg. And I had a newspaper route in the morning that paid me something like $15 a week, so I could keep in groceries, but I couldn't pay any other kind of bills like a mortgage payment or the electric bill or what have you. And so I went to Woodward High School my senior year, and I played
now
football.
Let me just emphasize this. I know it just amazes me. You know, you were a high school boy, 17, and your parents had been taken away. Your brother had gone off to college. You know, he was just 1 year older.
Right.
And there you were living alone, a minor, in your family home, and they were watching you, but nobody was helping you. And, you know, nobody was doing anything about it. And there you were managing all on your own with a paper route. And continuing to go to school and do well in school. This is really something that impresses me, not only about you, but just how they handle this kind of thing, Ben.
Well, that story is not too unusual when talking with other internees.
Oh, I'm sure.
Their kids.
Yeah.
In fact, some kids were left abandoned when parents were arrested, and they were maybe as young as 8 years of age and just left at the house.
Oh my gosh.
They had no idea where the people were. And there are a bunch of stories like that.
Huh.
One evening in Cincinnati while my parents were gone, the FBI came and picked me up at the house, and they took me downtown into this dark federal building, and they questioned me for something like an hour about who my friends were, what I was doing, and things like that. And when they offered to drive me back home at about 10 o'clock at night, I said, no, I'll take the streetcar, because I didn't want anything to do with them any more than I had to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you were pretty – it sure made you into an independent young man early on, didn't it?
Well, yeah, it tends to to mature one in a hurry. And, of course, in order to play football, I had to forge my mother's signature to the permission slips. And for some reason, the school never knew that my parents were interned.
Okay. And you didn't tell anybody either, did you?
Not really.
No.
No, not really.
And so you didn't really have relatives, you know, did you?
Yeah, well, there was a shirt tail aunt about something like a second or third cousin to my father, but I don't think she wanted anything to do with us, because at one point, after she had become naturalized, she had gone back to Germany to vote in the Rhineland plebiscite, and of course, I think the FBI knew that, and I'm sure they held it over her head to make sure that she wasn't too kind to anybody else in the German-American community.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will be right back after this commercial break with Eberhard IV.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesen, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices. This is in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372 or visit terravim.com.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees. Just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Carolyn Yeager with the Revisionist Report. My guest is Eberhard Fuhrer, and he's telling us his story of a World War II internment in the United States. And I think you're just talking about some things at your high school, Eberhard.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm at my high school? I played a letter three times in football and twice in baseball. Mm-hmm. And I was going to my regular classes. Woodward High School was a school of about 4,000 students, maybe a little bit less than that, but half of it was black and fully integrated, and it was a huge building. It covered an entire city block. It was a courtyard kind of a building, a quadrangle building, and at one point it had an 8-foot wrought iron fence completely around it, which was donated to the war effort in 1942.
Oh, that's right. They took the fence down for the metal in it, the steel.
Yeah, it was all wrought iron. Beautiful.
Okay,
fence.
Iron. Yeah.
And it really destroyed the architecture of the building. But and then we have regular every week. In homeroom, you were asked to contribute to, buy war bonds, or if you couldn't buy a bond, and since we were an inner-city school and very few of us could, you bought stamps to buy a bond. And when you accumulated $18.75 worth of stamps, they would issue you the bond. And I was in my classroom on the third floor in March of 1943, and I was still 17. And the principal, Dr. Peasley, came in the room and asked me to step out in the hallway. He apologized for asking me to do that. And the minute I stepped in there, why, the two FBI agents arrested me. And they took me down to my locker, which was on the ground floor of this five-story school.
And they put handcuffs on you. When did they do that?
They put the handcuffs on after we left the building. They did not.
Oh,
put
okay.
The
okay.
Yeah, I guess there's some kind of protocol about that. And then by that time, my brother dropped out of college and he had a job at the Burger Brewery in Cincinnati, and we went there, and he was arrested while I was kept in the car by the other agent. And then they took us down to Cincinnati police headquarters where we were booked on suspicion, which apparently allows them to hold you without charges for something like 2 or 3 days. I'm not sure exactly how that was. But anyway, later on when people sent my yearbook to me from and my the contents of my locker after they found out where I was, my yearbook picture was expunged from the yearbook. So I was a non-person except on those team photos and on the Spanish club pictures and things like that, because those they didn't have Photoshop to take you out of the book.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you still were in the football pictures. Yeah, that was kind of, I wonder who was behind that, thinking that you had to be removed from the yearbook. What, you were a junior at that time, is that right?
No, I was a senior.
I was
6 weeks shy of graduation.
Weeks shy of graduation, yeah,
right.
That's right, okay.
And the warrant of arrest was is really a presidential warrant signed by the Attorney General of the United States called Francis Biddle at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was dated March 6, 1943, but I was arrested on March 23.
Mm-hmm.
And,
so they had that ready for quite a while.
Yeah, they were. Well, you know, it's been known that they've even post-dated arrest warrants. They never actually showed me a warrant or Dr. Peasley a warrant when they arrested me. They just came in and did it.
Mm-hmm.
And from the police station, then they took both my brother and I to the Hamilton County Workhouse, which is a medieval kind of prison. It was built something like in the 1840s, and each there was individual cells, and each row of cells could be master locked so that you had to undo the master lock and then the individual cells to get somebody out. And they put us in separate cells, and each cell had one of these crazy looking beds hanging off the wall with a chain and about a 2-inch thick mattress.
Mm-hmm.
And the bathroom was a galvanized bucket in the corner.
Now, and this was a tier. Didn't you tell me one time that this was like 2 or 3 tiers high?
It was at least
the cell block.
At least 3 tiers high, and it was separated from the outside walls by a considerable distance.
Okay, we have to go for our third break. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, for a long segment.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendovite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendovite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a two-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Micro plant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, micro plant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am Carolyn Yeager with my guest, Eberhard Fuhrer. And Eberhard, I'm going to, we have about 17 minutes, and I'm going to try to quit interrupting and let you just go on, because there's still quite a bit to tell in your story.
Well, anyway, this prison was so typical that Stallone made a movie of that place just before they tore it down about the year 2000. The next day, they took us down to the federal building downtown Cincinnati in handcuffs again, and my older brother was taken into the hearing room first, and I was in the with the FBI agents outside, and they gave me a cup of coffee and a good donut, and I was reading the Cincinnati Inquirer, and it said two brothers were arrested. They will have a hearing, and they will be interned as dangerous alien enemies. So when it came time for my hearing, I knew right away that I would be it was pretty kind of cut and dried. And In retrospect, later on, my hearing was very typical of all hearings, because as the Assistant Attorney General James Rowe testified in 1988, that shortly after Pearl Harbor, 60,000, mostly Germans, were arrested, given hearings at 90 hearing boards, but they would not be permitted to have lawyers because it was easier that way. And it's true, I never was not permitted to have a lawyer, And the hearing ended pretty quickly, especially after they asked me if my cousin from Germany would knock on my door after coming up the Ohio River on a submarine. What would I tell him at 2 o'clock in the morning? And I was a little bit of a smart aleck. I said, I don't think the submarine could come up the Ohio River, because I remembered my Mark Twain, that in the Mississippi there were a lot of places that drew less than two fathoms deep. And a submarine would be very obvious. So the next day, they took us back to the, first of all, they took us back to the house, said take enough clothes for 2 days, and make sure the windows are locked and things like that. And so I took a couple of pairs of underwear and one pair of pants. And we went back to the Hamilton County Workhouse. And on that bright and early the next morning, two federal marshals took us.
Yeah, but during the night, well, I can't help myself. You didn't tell us how they were yelling out Nazi and things like that night that you were in the.
All night long, these guys would say.
Yeah, they're prisoners.
We got two Nazis in here tonight. What are you going to do in the morning when they open up the cells and for breakfast and things like that? And so it was kind of scary, especially when you're 17 and you're all by yourself in a cell. You don't even know where your brother is in another cell somewhere else. And but fortunately, their bark was worse than their bite.
Okay, they were, and, yeah, they're...
So anyway, when they prepared us to take us to Chicago, they put my brother in a cage within a cage, and they put a belt around him with a handcuffs in the front and the buckle on the back, and they handcuffed him to the belt. Then they put him on the street side. Then they put me in the cage, and did the same thing to me. And they said, "Well, you guys are football players, so we got to make sure you don't do anything." So then they cuffed us together. My brother and I were cuffed together with this belted handcuffs right in the front. And then they put us in the back seat of this Chevrolet and drove us off to Chicago at 4800 South Ellis Avenue, which is still there. It's an old mansion. And on Easter Sunday, two of the inmate ministers, one a Catholic priest and another and a Romanian priest called Father Cucu, gave us a ecumenical Easter service. And 37 of them signed the inside of a book that we brought along. And I still have all those signatures. And we were in this mansion for until July, and most of the guys that were there were sent to Fort Lincoln, North Dakota, and others were sent to Siegelville, Texas. But they'd opened this new family camp in Crystal City, Texas. So that's they took where my parents were then transferred along with my brother, younger brother, to this Crystal City internment camp. And half of that camp was Japanese. In other words, there was something like pretty close to 2,000 Japanese, 2,000 Germans, and the population would shift periodically because there would be repatriations and exchanges for American prisoners of war who were most of the time wounded American airmen who were being returned to the United States for medical treatment.
And, okay, now this camp in Crystal City, Texas, I'm familiar with that area. It's very far south in Texas. It's very, very hot, it's not always dry, but it can be dry area. It's a totally undesirable place, really, for most people.
Oh, absolutely. Right? It's a cactus area, very and scraggly mesquite trees. There's not much there, and we actually, they did permit us to build a huge swimming pool because there were a lot of kids there. In fact, there were something like 250 kids born there, half of them Japanese, half German. But they also brought in aliens or people from Central and South America, Germans and Japanese from Peru, along with their families, for internment in Crystal City.
And describe this camp. You said there was about 4,000 inhabitants in there, and of course it was a regular barbed wire watchtowers with guards with guns and all that stuff, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it was well lit, and the fences were at least 10 feet tall, and you could walk inside the perimeter of those fences, and it was probably something like 3/4 of a mile square, we had good medical facilities run by the United States Public Health Service, and each family lived as a family unit. We were issued script money, which was funny money, so that you could go to the company store and whatever was there, and so every family could have its own kind of cuisine.
Yeah. Well, what was in the company store? What did they generally have there?
The camp farm grew things like Swiss chard and spinach and beans and things like that.
Oh, so the people in the camp were doing that work. So you were growing a lot of your own food. Now you didn't eat you ate with your own family. Your own family had your own little kitchen. Of course, you're going to describe that. I hope they weren't too great, these little huts and places where you live. But you didn't eat in a communal dining room.
No. The cooking facility in the parents' living quarters would be a two-burner kerosene stove, and the refrigerator was really an ice box, and I got a job on a ice truck delivering that ice every day, like a 25-pound piece of a chunk of ice to keep the milk cool, or the butter, things like that, or the margarine, it was kind of very primitive, and the only water facilities would be in the parents' quarters, would be one sink. Bathing facilities and bathroom facilities, you had to go to a communal building that would service maybe 25, 30 family units.
And what did that look like? I mean, was that all open, or was there private stalls, or what was that?
In the male side, there were no stalls at all. I think on the female side they had stalls, but I'm not sure if they had doors on them.
I bet they didn't. Yeah. The listeners need to realize that this sounds exactly like the camps that we call these concentration camps in Germany. But the camps, the stories have been exaggerated, all out of proportion in Germany. And here, the opposite is done for us Americans, that, you know, we're made to kind of gloss over all of this stuff and think, well, they were just, they lost their freedom, but everything else was okay. Right?
Right.
So that's just my comment.
But we did have the freedom within the walls of the place.
Well, they did that in most of those places in Germany did too. You know, they walked around and went here and there. Yeah. What you were saying that, I forgot. You were saying that in the company store, you could buy the produce that was grown. If it was grown there by the people in the camp, the internees, why did you have to pay for it? Well they gave you the script, right?
They gave the script but there would be things like canned goods too, and once you exhausted the script, that was it. I mean, you were done for the month. So,
So you had to be very careful. So what was a typical meal that you ate with your family?
Well, you know, meat was not, was okay, but it wasn't anything special. There was usually plenty of green produce because of the company's farm, and that was generally done by the Japanese. They were great horticulturalists.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course there was flour and things like that. So if your mother was clever enough, she could bake stuff.
Well, did you have an oven with your two burner stove?
To be honest, I can't remember the
I wonder how she baked.
I don't think so.
No.
So scratch that.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't pay a lot of attention to.
Yeah, you were young. Yeah.
Well, I was trying to always get it. I was always trying to get out of doing the dishes.
But well, your mother really had it hard, didn't she?
Yeah.
I mean, she had to do an awful lot. She carried a big load.
Well, no, she was 53 years old when she went in, and 59 when she came out. So that's not the right age for a lady to be interned.
Mm-hmm.
Women should never have been interned.
Yeah.
There should never have been a family camp.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And in this family camp, didn't they also have individual huts for single people and couples without children that were a little bit smaller? I mean, they had a variety of stuff there.
Well, the couples without children were mostly in Segalville.
Oh, okay.
And so there were one or two like that, but most of those were, say, brought up from Central or South America, and they were kind of a little different. And but the point is that we interacted with the Japanese without it was totally integrated.
Mm-hmm.
We were not separated at
but,
all.
But your living quarters were separate, but you
yeah.
still but you still you know associated with
yeah,
one another.
Yeah, we played softball. We could partake with her. If they had a concert by the inmates, we could do that. We had movies. They had their movies too, and they were all old movies, which, because everything was censored in and out. If you got a letter or a book, it had to be censored in or censored out.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, we played, basketball against the Japanese had not been there, we couldn't have played softball or basketball because there wasn't enough German guys to do that. But we did have a couple soccer teams, and they could only field one after the Peruvian Japanese came up. But there were exchanges for, like, these American prisoners of war. But we could also get acquainted with the opposite sex. Like, I met my wife there. The gal that became my wife of 56 years, and a couple of the other guys did too. But there were also some pretty painful moments when somebody would be exchanged for, and they'd have to leave Crystal City on its exchange bed.
So they were sent back to Germany in order to get somebody, an American, out of Germany back.
Yeah, there was
the
right.
States
there would
yet.
Be
so,
an equal
so
number
whether
of
whether they wanted to go or not, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Some of them were some of them wanted to go and signed up to be repatriated because they wanted to get out of the. They were tired of this humdrum day in and day out internment bit.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing congenial about that. But anyway, when Germany was defeated, we figured the war was over. We would be released in May of 1945, but nothing happened then. And then when the Japanese were defeated in 1945 and in something like August, we kind of celebrated that because we thought, hey, this is over. But no, they started releasing the Japanese and And then Truman issued his deportation order, 2655, and that spawned 200 separate cases to set that aside, and they consolidated that into one called the Schleuder case. And Schleuder went to court saying he was deprived of having a proper hearing because he didn't have a lawyer, was not permitted a lawyer, so the rules of evidence were tainted, and therefore he was interned.
Okay, all right, I have to interrupt, Eberhard. We'll be right back for our final segment in a few minutes.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract! A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept! That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Carolyn Yeager again, and my guest Eberhard Fuhrer was telling us about how he got out of internment and what was happening. And I just want to make it clear that, because I didn't quite understand it, but I'm reading here and refreshing my understanding, that Harry Truman, the President Truman, what he did after the war was over was decide that all you Germans who had been interned, or most of you, needed to be deported to Germany, that you were dangerous, you were still dangerous people, too dangerous to be in the U.S. And that's what they were trying to do. And this was resisted, and over a period, and while it was while all this was going on, you know, legal issues and so on, you were still in the camp. All of you were still in the camp. And then tell us how that was finally worked out.
Well, Schleuder lost the case, and it was appealed to the Circuit Court of Appeals. And the Circuit Court of Appeals ruled on January 2, 1947, or reported on the New York Times the following day, that habeas corpus was properly denied Schleuder, and that Schleuder, claiming that his hearing was defective, could not claim that because he was not entitled to hearing at all. In other words, all of these hearings that were done without lawyers, they were totally unnecessary to begin with. And so we were on Ellis Island now to be deported. And fortunately, Senator William Langer...
Well, tell us the conditions on Ellis Island just real quick.
Oh,
you said
Ellis
they
Island
were worse than anywhere else.
Ellis Island was terrible. All the men were separate, and the women were separate. And you had this huge room where the men, two- and three-decker bunk beds with no separations, and something like 400 or so were in there.
Mm-hmm.
And the food was terrible. And
yeah, you said you could hardly eat it, even though you had to be hungry. You said you could barely eat it.
Yeah. Every Thursday night was tripe, and I really don't know want to know what it is, but because it was pretty bad. But anyway, Senator Langer convened his hearing in July of 1947, gave each of us a hearing on Ellis Island. And it resulted in a bill, and I'm on page two of his bill, of that bill, and he asked for the release of 258 of us, of the then Attorney General Tom Clark. And in September of 1947, I was released, and when I was called up, they said, we won't have your train ticket back to Cincinnati until tomorrow. I said, what time is the next ferry from Ellis Island to New York? And they said, in 20 minutes, you'll never make it. I said, pal, I'm going to make that. I don't care what I leave behind. You can do anything you want with it, because I did not want them to change their mind. So I left on that next ferry.
Yes. And then from then on, you made your way to a career and all. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Eberhard, it certainly is a good thing. I knew you would have to be on for 2 days, so we haven't finished nearly. Tomorrow we're going to go into all the issues that this brings up and the work that you've done about it since, and the meaning of it all and what we need to learn from it. So thank you very much, Eberhard, for being here today. Listeners, I'm sorry I didn't give the phone number, but I knew there didn't seem to be time. But tomorrow we'll give you a chance to call in and ask questions of Eberhard. So goodbye for now, Eberhard.
Thank you very much for listening. I really appreciate it.
Okay, we'll see you tomorrow. Bye, everyone.
Ever climbing as the dollar